Welcome back to It's Pretty Personal, a podcast all about sharing South Asian stories. How are we doing today? I hope you all had a really good weekend. Now that things are opening up, I felt like this was the first weekend where I actually felt like I had a weekend. Like, I saw humans on both days, and it was so nice to just go into London and see London popping again. However, I do need recommendations on things to do and places to eat that are a bit more like low-key and off the radar. Because being a Londoner, I feel like sometimes I take the city for granted and I don't explore as much as I would like to. Anyways, enough about me. Today's episode is all about fashion and sustainability, two things that I'm very interested in. And I wouldn't say I'm a fashionista, but I do enjoy fashion, although right now I can't really do the fashion because I've been living in baggy t-shirts for like the last year and I've forgotten how to wear normal people clothes. But I'm joined by Tanvi, a corporate girl by day and lifestyle blogger by night. She uses her platform to educate and raise awareness on important topics such as equality and sustainability, as well as providing top tips and honest recommendations for all things fashion, beauty, and travel. And this episode provides so much value. Tanvi's words, not mine, but I do agree. One of the things that we talk about in the episode is thrifting. And I love thrifting so much so that I'll be releasing an IGTV haul of my latest thrifting adventure on my Instagram page at Pretty Personal if you're not following. And trust me, like, I feel like you guys need to watch it because I have so much respect for YouTubers now that make cool videos because it's actually not easy. Because I was figuring out the tripod situation, my finger was bleeding because I had an injury due to filming this haul, which is supposed to be so simple. I don't know how the hell I've overcomplicated it. So there's definitely going to be a bloopers for that video too. Because honestly, I love watching thrifting hauls. So throughout the week, I will also be sharing some sustainable South Asian brands and pages as well on my Instagram story. So yeah, follow me on Instagram. This week's going to be popping. Oh, and something else that I did this weekend was recycle my makeup. So if you're in the UK, Boots are currently doing a recycling scheme where you'll get 500 Boots Advantage points, which is basically a fiver, if you donate your empty makeup, skincare and toiletries to their designated recycling points. I think it's five at a time that you can do. And when I went, someone even recycled toothpaste. There are a few stores around the UK that are doing it, and I think it's really worth it if, for example, you have makeup items lying around that are empty and you're just going to throw them away. So if that's something that interests you, then I'll highly recommend that you do it before the 29th of April, because after the 29th, they're changing the terms and conditions when it comes to that scheme. And I think the 500 Advantage card points are only until the 29th of April. The link for all that information will be in the episode description below if you're interested. Also, before we get into the episode, please don't forget to follow and subscribe to this podcast if you're new, to write a 5-star review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, because honestly, reviews really help podcasts grow. So please support my podcast and follow the podcast on social media, Instagram, Twitter and TikTok at Pretty Personal. I'll link it all down below, as well as Tanvi's social media links and her new YouTube channel, which she launched a few weeks ago. So let's get into the episode. Hi Tanvi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm good. Happy it's the weekend, finally.
I know. Although, the when we're recording this, today's actually Halloween and I don't have any Halloween plans.
I know. I was looking through all my Halloween pictures from the last like 5 years and I was just sad that I've got no reason to dress up, because it's the only time of year that I can really do fancy dress. And now I don't even have that.
What do you normally dress up as? Like, do you have like a go-to?
I mean, I'm not like experimental. I just do like, you know, the easy ones, like a little bit of army with blood, basically anything, just add a bit of blood. So yeah, I've done quite a few at uni. Halloween at uni was the best. Now it's sort of like, I'm a bit old for it.
I'm like allergic to face paint. But the one thing that I tried to do was like, you know, like when you do half your face like as a skull and then half your face is normal. I feel like everyone kind of did that. So that was like my go-to Halloween thing that I had to watch multiple YouTube videos on to figure out how to do it.
I think that's too technical for me. I wouldn't have been able to do that.
See, my Halloween plan right now is like bidding on a DS on eBay.
At least you've got something to do.
Yeah, I just want a Nintendo DS. So I've just been bidding for them on eBay and they're actually like not bad, you know. Like, it's like £30 for like the DS and games.
Oh, that's not bad. Isn't that like 10, is it something that's new? I mean, I'm really not that.
Nintendo DS is as in like when I used to have it like as a kid.
Okay, so like the old school ones. Yeah, yeah. So I had one, but I don't know if there was like a newer version.
Oh no, I want the old version. I want my childhood version. Like the flippy one. Aww. And you get to play Cooking Mama.
Okay, yeah, yeah. I think I've still got mine somewhere.
So one thing that I always do when I have a guest is that I kind of do like an icebreaker, get to know you kind of thing. So I've got 5 questions. So the first question is, what is one thing that always makes you smile?
Sunsets. That's like my thing. And I just love watching sunsets in different cities and countries. And yeah, that I can just sit and watch a sunset for hours. That makes me happy.
It's something so peaceful about it as well, right? Like when you just sit there and I just feel like so in the moment when I see a sunset. I don't know if you feel the same way.
I think I, as a person, very rarely get to switch off. But when there's a sunset, I feel like everything else is just irrelevant and you can zone out from life. And I just love just like watching the sun go down. It's like my favorite thing to do.
I love that. Next one is, what is one thing that's happened today that you're grateful for?
To be honest, I was thinking about this and I just think in this day and age and like given the circumstances this year, I'm genuinely just happy that I'm mentally and physically healthy and okay. I just think there's so much going on right now. And even that is like a huge thing to be grateful for. So that is what I have to say for that.
Love that. Next one is, what is one skill that you want to learn?
I knew the answer to this one straight away. So I would love to know how to cook. Because if you put me in a kitchen, it's quite tragic, I must say. So that is something, maybe my 2021 New Year's resolution is learn how to cook.
Is there any dish in particular that you want to cook?
Oh, just like the general skill. If you put me in a kitchen, basically, I would just love to know what to do.
I actually want to see you in a kitchen now.
Yeah, it's really embarrassing.
The next question is, something that you've done in life that you're proud of?
I think for me, it's completing the ACA. Like, that's probably my most recent milestone, I'd say. But it's probably one of the hardest things I've done and had to work towards for a couple of years. So yeah, definitely doing the ACA.
And finally, what is your favourite thing about living in London?
I love London so much. I think it's because, one, of the diversity of people. There's just so many different cultures, religions, types of people in London. But also just having everything so easily accessible, like having so many restaurants and bars and like things to do. So galleries and museums. It's just, you can never really get bored. So that is what I love about London.
Yeah, I really miss London now. Like going into central London, like I really miss it. Just the vibe of it.
I mean, even when you do go, it's just not the same because you're just really conscious of everything and you have to wear a mask everywhere. And I just don't feel like you can fully enjoy it anymore, which is sad.
I don't know why, but you know, like I grew up like watching Bollywood movies. And you know, there's always a scene in Bollywood movies where like they're walking to work in central London and they're like living their best life. That used to be me every single day when I used to walk to work. I was like, I feel like I'm that corporate girl in the city.
Oh, I can relate. I can relate. I do miss that. I miss being in the office as well, actually.
Yeah, me too.
As weird as that sounds, yeah.
So one of the big topics that we're going to talk about today and something that you always talk about on your page as well is fashion and sustainability. And I just wanted to know, like, what are your thoughts on fashion and sustainability?
I mean, I've always loved fashion from a young age. And I think it's only the last couple of years where I've actually sat down and thought, we should really think about where our things come from and how it impacts the wider world. I just feel like there's so much consumerism in this day and age. And, you know, people always want the latest thing or they want to be on trend in fashion or have like the latest makeup palette or whatever it might be. And people just can easily just buy it online or go to a shop. But we're so distant from like the reality of the situation and how that then negatively impacts the environment or the people that have actually made these products. And I feel like I don't think it's anyone's fault because we're just not exposed to it. We don't see it with our own eyes. And, you know, it's not something that's publicly displayed. People can just like carry on living in ignorance and just be happy doing what they're doing. But I really do think at the same time, it's our responsibility to actually start educating ourselves and learning about how our own actions can impact so many people and things in the world. So that is why like the last few years, I've really started to focus that on my page and try and help raise awareness about these things. Because I think people just aren't exposed to it. And sometimes if you're not exposed to it, you just get by not knowing.
Yeah.
So yeah.
It is really crazy though, because I think you're very right in saying that we're not exposed to it. And I think a lot of times, especially because I feel like we live in such an instantaneous society these days, everything is in the palm of our hands and there's so much choice and like everyone's like competing on price. Sometimes I will go to a store or I will check online and I'm like, this dress is like £5. I'm like, And I'm just trying to think, like, from a finance background, I'm like, how the hell are you making a profit on like £5 dress? I'm like, what is in it? Like, what are you paying your workers and stuff like that? Especially like over lockdown, I've been seeing quite a lot about fashion companies not paying staff properly. And I didn't know that a couple of years ago, but I'm like not surprised at the same time.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's all this exploitation that goes on and has been going on for years. But I think it's only recently in the last few years that it's really gaining media attention and people are putting the spotlight and, you know, holding these fashion companies accountable. And obviously now we have the like pull up or pay up sort of campaign and stuff like that is really helping. But I do still feel like it's still a massive work in progress. There's so much that needs to be done. And I just think at the same time, like you've got all these like fast fashion companies, you've got the Boohoo's, Misguided, Pretty Little Thing, who put out these amazing social media campaigns and adverts. And then, you know, they're using all the right influencers and bloggers and they're all wearing their latest stuff. So like everyone else feels like they need to look like them and, you know, have the latest trends. So there's always that pressure to just look like always on trend. So I think it's really hard to also be sustainable, but also, you know, like I'm a fashion page. So I definitely feel the pressure of having to stay on trends, but also do it in the right way.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That's really interesting because I feel like fashion means so different to so many different people. Because I know growing up, I always felt like there were fashion trends and I felt like you always had to follow the trend and trends change. Like, I feel like trends change every week. Like, I just can't keep up these days.
Yeah, definitely. I just feel like as I've got older, I'm much more inclined to invest in things that last a longer time or I can wear with more things or don't go out of fashion. And if you have those staple pieces of clothing, they really are classic and they don't go out of fashion one season. So that's what I'm really trying to shift my buying habits towards. And I guess that is what conscious consumerism is just not buying the latest thing and then wearing it once and never wearing it again. So yeah, that's what I'm trying to do more of. And obviously I'm not perfect. No one is, but at least I'm trying to head in the right direction and also help other people do the same.
Yeah, I'm definitely guilty of that. I'm definitely guilty of buying stuff because I'm like, oh, this would look nice and then never wear it. I did like a massive wardrobe clean out like during lockdown and there was so much stuff. I was actually embarrassed and I was like, why have I got stuff with a tag still on it that I never worn that I probably got in a sale like 2 years ago? It's probably too big for me now or too small for me because everyone's weight fluctuates. But I do agree with you when it comes to basics. And I think I'm very similar to you in terms of I've shifted my mindset now to be like, I like wearing basics. My wardrobe now consists of black, white, and that's it. And I like it like that. I just like having, I don't know how to explain it, but as an, I think I've stopped following trends and I've kind of just found my own fashion. And I'm like, this is what makes me happy. Like I love wearing like baggy jumpers and skirts or like, that's what I used to wear at work, like all the time, like jumpers and skirts or like tops and like trousers and stuff like that. When I used to go to the office, I'm quite lucky in the sense that like in our office, we didn't have to wear, we can wear what we wanted. So I didn't feel like I needed a work wardrobe and then a normal people wardrobe, like a casual wardrobe. So then I started being more conscious and being like, well, if I'm going to wear it all the time, I just want something that will last a long time. Because the problem with fast fashion is the fact that because it's so fast, I also feel like the quality isn't great and it looks great in pictures. But when you wear it, I sometimes am like, oh, this doesn't feel right.
And those are the exact clothing that you literally do wear a few times. It doesn't last and you throw it away. And that's exactly what fast fashion is. And I just think I personally am just making such an effort to not buy things like that. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying to boycott these brands because that would actually lead to more unemployment for these workers. But I am just saying is when you are buying things, just be more aware of not buying things unnecessarily or buying things you actually can wear with loads of different things and you can see yourself wearing next season, for example. So it's just, you know, having that balance and just being a bit more conscious, which is important.
No, definitely. And in terms of like even the environment, I think a lot of people don't realize the environmental effect that fast fashion or fashion in general has. So I was doing some research and I found this like really cool fashion report. So it's called The State of Fashion 2020 by McKinsey. And I took out some facts from it. And it actually says that the fashion industry accounts for 20 to 35% of microplastic flows into the ocean and outweighs the carbon footprint of international flights and shopping combined. And I was like, wow. But I would never have expected that.
Exactly. I think sustainability as a word covers so much. And it's, I think people just think, oh, it's just paying workers the right amount or using recycled materials or whatever. Sustainability covers so much more than that. Like, it's literally the building of factories that, you know, lead to deforestation, or gold mining when you make jewelry is like destroying the environment, or even just things like chemicals used in makeup or skincare, then polluting the oceans and killing sea life. So like you said, there's so much that people don't even know or expect. And unless you do your own research and you actively try and learn about this stuff, things aren't really going to change. So yeah, I mean, there's so many different things that it impacts.
That's so true. But I do feel that brands are becoming more sustainable. Like, for example, H&M and Zara have both kind of pledged to be using more sustainable fabrics and using everything recycled. When you do go shopping, you do end up seeing, especially in H&M, you can like donate your clothes there and stuff like that. So that people are becoming more conscious. It's kind of nice to see that like the fashion industry is shifting towards like more sustainable fabric and recycled materials. In my head, I just really don't know how that works. Like, what they're going to do, take your old clothes and then...
They literally do just take old fabric and material and then they sort of decompress it in some way and then just reuse it to make something else. And there's so many videos of how they do this on YouTube. If you're interested in watching, it's really cool. So don't think that, oh, just because I'm buying recycled clothes, it's someone's secondhand clothes or whatever. Like, it's actually decent stuff. And as they invest more in it, and, you know, other sort of companies like skincare use more vegan products or like plant-based or natural skincare, like, they do have the money to do it and they do it properly. So if you can then support these companies by buying that sort of stuff, then it will only encourage them to do it more. And also, again, then they can reinvest that money into making it even better. So yeah, I agree with you. I do think the fashion industry as a whole is shifting, but I think it's going to take a lot of time.
It is going to take a lot of time for sure. And I also feel like in terms of our generation, so I never know, are we like Gen X, Gen Y? Like,
I have no idea.
I never know. I never know what I am.
I feel like I'm kind of in the middle.
Yeah. I have no idea which one I am. But younger people, I do feel like we're getting to this place where we are buying more like secondhand clothing. Like, I know for me, I'm obsessed with thrifting. At the start of 2020, for example, I was really into buying thrifted clothing because I just like, that is so cool. Not only is it a great way to help the environment, but you're also getting pretty good deals on clothes and some of it barely has been worn. So I feel like I've started making a really conscious effort of like, even with my wardrobe, like giving it to charity shops and stuff, and now going to charity shops and actually seeing what's out there. And I don't know, I just watch all these YouTube videos of people in America just having thrifting hauls. And I'm like, why do we not have thrift shops like this? Like, why?
I think here it's just not as big of a thing, or we just don't have that much access to that, to thrift stores, basically. But I agree. I think it's really cool. And you can really save a lot of money on some great items of clothing. So yeah, I don't know why people don't do it. And I feel like if some people do think it's embarrassing or there's a stigma attached to wearing secondhand clothes, then I feel like they need to get over it, because is not uncool and you're actually doing a good thing and helping the environment and getting really cool clothes for really cheap. So why wouldn't you do it?
Exactly. I do feel like there was a stigma attached to that back in the day. Like, I don't know if you've ever felt it, but when people were like, oh, you shop at charity shop, like, or like you're wearing a charity shop thing. Whereas now I'm like, listen, I got these pair of Levi's jeans that were supposed to be £150 to £30. Like, of course that's a bargain. As an Indian, like, I love a good deal. I think everyone loves a good deal.
Yeah, why wouldn't you? And I think it's actually a skill to buy something from a thrift shop, style it, upcycle it, wear it in a way that people look at it and they're like, wow, where did you get that from? And then you tell them and they're like, oh my God, that's, I would never have guessed. And I think that's a skill in itself. Like, that is a real, you know, fashion styling skill to do. So yeah, I'm all for it.
Because you actually started your own thrifting slash, thrifting slash, selling your old clothes online as well. So you basically have a page called Tagged by Tambi, whereby you did a massive wardrobe clean out and then you ended up just posting your stuff on Instagram and people were buying it. And I think that's great. I think that's a great way. How did you ever think of that idea?
So I've had Depop for a really long time and I used to just sell like random dresses and stuff on it. But I think obviously my Instagram platform has a lot bigger following and the exposure is much bigger on that. So I thought, how can I actually increase my sales and make sure the stuff is selling And to people I genuinely wanted to give back to, because on Depop, you could literally be selling to anyone, like it's random people. So then I just thought, well, seeing as my Instagram is of such a big size, why don't I just then link that to something else and kind of have a different strand to it? And actually, it was so successful. I mean, I've only done one weekend of sales and I've got so much more stuff to put on there. But I'm sure I sold like 50 things. And it's great because for me, I can clear out my wardrobe. I create more space for me. But also, I've got some really good quality stuff that maybe I personally am not wearing anymore. I bought when I was younger, or for me, it just doesn't really suit my style. But then for someone else, it could be something brand new and amazing and great, like an early Christmas present. So that's what I thought, like, why not try? And if it doesn't work, then I would have just given it to charity. So, you know, there was no harm in trying. And actually, I think it's been so successful that so many other bloggers and influencers out there have actually started doing the same thing. And I think it's so great, like, that people are, because people have great clothes to sell and people don't have enough space in their wardrobes to keep it all.
No, I think that's exactly a great idea, especially when it comes to the space thing as well. Like sometimes I literally go into my wardrobe and I'm like, you feel overwhelmed. Oh my God, I don't want to go through this. I think it's a great idea. And I've seen a lot more online thrift stores as well, like over Instagram and stuff pop up. And I think that's also such a great idea that we're just shopping over Instagram and it's people that we know or people that we follow and people that we trust kind of thing. And I think it's great.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think because it was me and obviously people follow me partly for my fashion or my style, is that actually being able to get their hands on things that I genuinely like and think are great and have bought is a good thing for people, because at least like it's been handpicked by me essentially. So that's another reason that like it really helps me to grow closer to my followers as well. Like I can give them something back because they're like heavily, heavily discounted pieces for what I got them for. So yeah, no, I've really been enjoying it. I just think, you know, it does take a lot of time. So I need to get back on it.
I think, like you said, I think it's a great way to like gift people presents and stuff. I wouldn't be upset if someone bought me someone's secondhand piece of clothing, because I'm a bit like, if I like it, I like it. And sometimes like my style represents like me in the past, my childhood stuff, but obviously you can't get that anymore. So then trying to find those pieces again are sometimes so difficult, hence why they're probably called vintage.
But vintage is really cool. So
yeah, vintage is so cool and I love that kind of stuff. But then it's so, sometimes I just feel like you can get so many good finds on Instagram now. And I like the way that in terms of like consumer preferences and stuff, it is moving in that direction. It's gone from retail stores to online websites to social media.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Social media is taking over the world.
It really is. And talking about social media, let's talk a little bit more about your story and how you even got into blogging.
Yeah, my story is a weird one. So I think a lot of people sort of start off with a personal account and they'll make a separate one that they have for the sole purpose of growing or investing time in, or a business or create a page or whatever it might be. Whereas for me, it was my personal account that actually started to pick traction up and grow. And I wasn't really doing anything in particular other than just posting my holidays or my outfits or where I was eating, just normal stuff. So I think this year I decided to actually make a personal account now that my current personal account has grown so much. So I've actually done it the other way around. But yeah, now I've just got to a point where it's like, I have this platform and I really want to use it to raise awareness for important issues and causes and just give people a voice, really. But I just love doing a bit of everything. And I know people say, stick to your niche and find what people follow you for. But I think for me, my Instagram is definitely just an extension of my everyday life and my personality. And so for me, I just love to share things with you guys, or random thoughts I have or things I've been using. It's been really nice to have and grow that sort of online sense of community.
Yeah, and I think that's so important as well, like that sense of community. How did it feel for you when you saw the numbers pick up and it got to like more than 10K or more than 15K? Like, were you really taken aback by that?
To be honest, I feel like it's all happened very quickly. So I hit 10K at maybe the start of lockdown, so about 6 months ago. And since then, I've basically doubled. So it has grown so quick that I feel like it hasn't really hit me yet. And I haven't really processed it. But I'm just really grateful for everyone that does support me and follow me. And 99% of the time, it's people that interact with me positively. I'm just going with it, really, and just trying to stay open-minded and positive about it all.
And I think it's so nice, like especially during lockdown, so many people have started that side hustle and started that blogging page, or for example, I started my podcast. And it's really nice to see South Asian people out there finally taking their power into their hands and having a voice for us. Because growing up, I didn't feel like we were that represented. Like we're both South Asian. And I know growing up, I was like, so where's the Indian person in this? And I thought the only person that I could relate to was a girl from Bend It Like Beckham. And that was it.
It's so true. I think growing up, especially our generation, you're right. Like we would look at movies and programs and there wouldn't be that many brown girls. And if there were, they were put into such a box of like the stereotypical brown girl and brown family. So I think that's one of the main reasons that I'm kind of intentionally growing my platform, is because I can be that, or try to be a good role model for brown girls and just share my own experiences and my advice of personal things I've gone through, because I know so many of you guys can relate to it. So I think it's really important that there are now a lot more South Asian girls on social media representing, and they're all doing great jobs.
Honestly, I get so happy, like genuinely so happy when I see another South Asian girl like just thriving, and I'm like, yes, because we need more of you. Like I don't want girls like us in 10 years time being like, there's no one like me out there.
Yeah, I agree.
And in terms of like your audience and stuff, do you feel like your audience is like a representation of you? So like for me with my podcast, I always feel like if I enjoy my episode, I know that my audience are going to enjoy the episode. And I was wondering if that's how you feel about the content that you put out as well.
Yeah, I think for me, it is sometimes tricky because my content is so varied. So I'm not just a fashion blogger and I'm not just a makeup specialist. I'm not even that, because I just don't really know how to do that. But I also do my whole corporate life kind of videos and my ACA journey and just educational videos as well. So I do think my audience is quite varied. And I also do, as much as like, you know, some guys are weird and creepy, I think in terms of the educational side, like guys can benefit from it too. In terms of skincare, guys can benefit from it too. So in that sense, I do think my audience is quite varied, but you know, they all follow me for a reason. Some might be for different things, but in the sense that you're right, if I think I'm making good quality content and I'm going to add value to someone who is following me for that reason, then that's all I can really do.
No, definitely. And one of the questions that you said were like creepy people. Have you got some weird DMs? Like, how do you deal with that?
To be honest, I just laugh it off at this point. Like I do get quite a few. I'm sure a lot of girls do, but it's funny. Most of the time it's actually something laughable, or like people asking to be your sugar daddy, or like wanting you to sell pictures of your feet, basically. So it's just funny and I laugh it off. It's never really got to a point where I'm like, this is serious and weird.
That is actually quite creepy, because I feel like a lot of people who are in the blogging space have experienced the weird, creepy DMs. And it's like, I don't know, I just get really like taken aback, because I feel like with my personal account, I'm quite private. So I don't follow anybody who I don't know, like at all. And that's like a rule I've always made. So when someone tries to even request to follow me, I'm like, who are you? And also, how the hell did you get my Instagram?
Yeah, that's like me on my personal account, right? I think it gets to a point where sometimes you can think, like, how are you even okay with yourself speaking to someone like this? Did your mother not raise you correctly to even think it's acceptable to say these things? But on the other hand, you can just feel sorry for them, and this is their way of trying to get girls. So, you know, it's all perspective.
No, definitely. So in terms of challenges, have there been any challenges that you feel like you've faced in your blogging journey or being on social media?
Yeah, definitely loads. I think when you put yourself out there like you do on a platform like social media, you're basically asking to be criticized, and you have to accept that not everyone is going to like you and not everyone is going to agree with what you have to say. I personally am not afraid to say what I think and to call people out, and honestly, for ages I didn't. And then I started actually raising things, and I was saying, this is not okay, or this person is saying this and that is not right. But of course, that then comes with trolls and people just generally not agreeing. And that's fine, because if I know I'm true to myself, I just have to block it out. I think as well, as you grow your page, and you probably experience this as well, you get people messaging you, oh, can you post this? Can you share this? Can I send you this? And all these requests. And you know, as much as you want to help everyone out there, it's not your job to do that. And to be honest with me, I want to stay as credible as possible, and I wouldn't share something unless I've personally tried it or I've used it myself. And so sometimes you do just have to be a bit blunt and honest with people. But I do find it frustrating that a lot of the times people don't think I'm a human being, and they don't even bother to say please and thank you, or just to be like, hi, how are you? Do you mind helping? Or it's just, hi, do this. And I just think that, you know, everyone's a human. And I spoke about this week in particular, like everyone is a human behind their account. And if you want something from someone, if not having manners isn't the best place to start. So I think that's the thing I find challenging, because I'm quite a polite person and I try to be kind to everyone. Even if I don't agree with something, you know, there's no reason to not be nice. So I think that's what I probably struggle with the most, because I take it personally when it's really on them.
No, definitely. I do get what you mean. And sometimes I feel really bad. I don't like doing it, because there's obviously so many things that I could have sent to like people with a bigger following than me. So hi, can you post this? Like, it will really help me out. But the problem is that I wouldn't like it if someone did that to me, because I'm a bit like, it kind of seems like you're using them a bit and you're not doing it like...
Well, they are. That's the thing. The bottom line is, of course, they're using you. It's marketing and they gain exposure from doing it. Difference is that the person on the other side has every right to post what they want on their social media. And I don't think people understand that. They have every right to say no. And if they want to, because they agree with something you're saying, or they agree with you, the product you're promoting, then that's a different story. But people almost expect people to just say yes to everything, and they don't really owe them anything. So I do find that challenging sometimes.
I can really relate to that as well, in terms of like finding that a challenge, because I think we had this conversation before where I was saying how you want to stay credible for your brand is how I want to stay credible for my brand, and have people on podcast guests that I really know that like pre 10 years ago would love to listen to their content. It's like trying to say no, I at the start found so difficult, because I'm a bit like, am I like part of not having this opportunity? Is this a great opportunity? But now, at the same time that we both are working corporate jobs, like we don't have time to do everything as well. Like,
if I could help every single small business that is out there in the world that I would want to support, I wouldn't have enough hours in the day, let alone have a full-time job. So I think people also need to respect our time. And I mean, just a general piece of advice for you and anyone listening to this is that, I mean, if it doesn't serve you primarily and it doesn't serve your followers, then don't do it. And that's kind of what I stick to.
I think that's really, really great advice. And the other thing that you kind of spoke about a lot this week as well was social media detoxing.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think it's so important to have a social media detox once in a while?
I think it is so easy to just get caught up on social media and just get overwhelmed and almost become obsessed and addicted to it. And I think that is actually scientifically proven. Like, if you haven't seen The Social Dilemma, there's ways in which they use algorithms to actually get you hooked onto these apps and spend more time on these apps. But if you kind of take control and actually, as I like to do about once a month, just say, I need a day or two off Instagram and just, you know, have some time for myself and just spend some time with my friends, then you come back to it with a fresh mind and a clear head. And then you kind of know your next steps. And I think that's really important, because at the end of the day, it's an app. It's an application. You can't let an app control your life. You control your emotions. It's not real. Social media is not real, as much as, you know, we invest so much time into it. So, you know, you need to stay in control of yourself.
I definitely agree. And I feel like one thing that I used to not do, but have started doing, maybe because I started posting daily affirmations on my page. So I feel like the first thing I do when I wake up is like go on Instagram and then post my affirmation. But I also then go on Instagram and scroll for 30 minutes and then post my affirmation, which is really bad because I never used to do that before. Like when I used to go into the office, I made this rule where I used to have like an old school alarm clock and I never used to use my phone as an alarm clock. And I used to put my phone in my bag and I wouldn't check my phone until I got on the train.
Mm-hmm. So you've got your whole morning just clear.
Yeah. Well, it's like now I'm literally just like on my phone all the time. And I feel like when you're in a bad place, like, and you're already feeling a bit low, and especially with the winter and stuff, everyone always moods always a little bit downer anyway, because it's so gloomy outside.
Yeah, it is quite sad outside. Yeah.
So then to have that pressure of social media, like the first thing in the morning, I know for me, like that's a problem. And I'm just like now trying to get into a way where I'm like not trying to do that anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it's not good for anyone's mental health to be on social media all the time. And I know it's really, really difficult, especially because we're all kind of in a lockdown and we're all at home a lot more and we can't go out as much and keep busy. But if you can, just turn your phone off for an hour or put it away in a drawer and do watch a movie or anything. Just try a little bit harder to be on social media less and you will feel better.
Definitely. And the other thing that I really wanted to talk about was prioritizing your priorities, because we both do corporate jobs and I know you do a lot in terms of like your job, your blogging, everything else in between. How do you make time for everything? I know you get this question quite a bit.
Yeah, I think this is probably the most common thing I get asked is how do I balance everything I do? To be honest, I'm very organized as a person, maybe too organized. I'm a bit extra, but I have like multiple calendars. I have to-do lists. I always write things down. Even on some days when I have a really busy weekend, I will literally do a timetable by the hour so that I know exactly what I need to do and I can make sure I get it done. But at the same time, I'm realistic. So if I think I've got 20 things to do, let's be honest, I'm not going to be able to do that in one day. So I make sure that I am realistic, you know, with my goals and what I need to get done. And I'm organized with that. And then the other thing I would say is just to be really efficient with your time. So if you wake up and you're literally like, I cannot be asked to do anything today and I feel so lazy and I'm not in the mood to make any content or whatever it might be, then just don't. Like, take that day for yourself and have a duvet day and do what you need to do so that the next day you can come back and just like smash it out. Because I find that if you're not really efficient and you go into it half-heartedly, you end up just not even enjoying it, or it doesn't come out the way you want it to come out. So I like to just have one day on the weekend to just bang out all my content. And then the other day is just to like relax and have me time. And then obviously my Monday to Friday is really my job. And that's what I'm getting paid to do. So that is my priority.
No, definitely. I feel like sometimes like there are days where you just feel forced to do it. And then when you do it, when you feel forced to do it, you will do it half-heartedly because your heart is not in it. The thing that I've realized like with my podcast and I think with most people's side hustles is that we're doing it because we're passionate about it, right? We're not getting paid to do it. And we want to do it because we genuinely care about the reason behind it, right? Like for me, like it's a purpose, so to speak. And I think that's so important. So I feel like when it stops being fun, that's when I feel like you need to kind of take a break from it, because at the end of the day, it's a hobby. It's an outlet.
Yeah. The minute you stop enjoying something, it's no longer a hobby. It's a chore. And you never, ever, ever want to get to a place where you're constantly feeling like it's a chore. So yeah, definitely balance is key.
Yeah. Has there ever been a time where you've just gotten so overwhelmed with everything going on?
Yeah, all the time. I think I've got better. But the thing is, because this year in particular, my page has just been growing so quickly and all these opportunities have been coming at me left, right and center. And as you said, like, I never want to feel like I'm missing out on an opportunity or I'm not doing something. So I'm always that person that's like, yes, yes, I'll figure it out. Like, I'll make time for it. But then there's always that point where I'm like, okay, I've taken on way too much. I don't have the time to do all this. So it's actually like understanding your capacity and really not taking on too much. And if you do, just take a break. Like, rely on the support system you have around you if you need like a mental breakdown, you know, and just don't take on too much in one go. Those are the key things I've learned. And I'm getting a lot better at learning how much I have to do and when to say no.
Yeah, I think that's really, really important. I always just see like life is like a plate. And it's like you can balance quite a bit, but as soon as one side gets really big, like your plate is going to topple over. So that's like a lot of times, like, and something always slips. I feel like for me, I can do about 3 or 4 things really well. But as soon as you put another thing on, like something will slip. Like whether that be like working out, like I won't work out as much as I used to. You need to prioritize your time.
Exactly. Time is so precious and time is limited. So you're right. And also it's really quality over quantity. You want to prioritize the things that you are giving yourself and other people value. And if you're not, then it's not a priority really.
Exactly. And talking about, that's a really good tip. And talking about tips, there's a lot of people out there that want to get into the social media space and want to make a blog or make an Instagram page. What kind of advice and tips? I know you do have so many on your page that I'm going to link in the episode description.
Yeah, I've got loads of IGTVs. Check them out. Okay, so firstly, I say this to everyone. It's really just not an overnight thing. I think every single person wishes that there was some magic thing that they can do and the next day they'll have 10,000 followers. And that is just not the reality of the situation. It really does take a lot of hard work and a lot of time, and a lot of it is out of your hands. What you can do is with the content you do produce, is be consistent with it. Make sure it's adding value. Make sure it's important and not just some wishy-washy, I don't know. My views on some things that people post, I'm like, what is the point of that? But, you know, I'll keep them to myself. But also just understanding your audience and why they follow you. Make sure you're actually tailoring your content to what people benefit from. And I think the most important thing really is just being original and being yourself. Like, people love to see originality and people love to see new things and honesty. And to be honest, it's quite hard to find people that are really honest and open and relatable on social media, because like I said, social media can often be really fake. So yeah, if you're yourself, people are following you for you or your brand or your podcast or whatever it might be. So make sure you're just staying true to that and you will grow. It's just a gradual process.
Yeah. Like, how long do you feel like it took you to grow?
So, I mean, as I said earlier, like, I never really invested much time and effort into my Instagram before the last year, I'd say. So I've had my Instagram for 5 years and, you know, that was just a really slow, gradual process. I did notice a big change when I actually was investing more time and tailoring my content and, you know, using all these sort of strategies, like using specific hashtags and making sure that, you know, I'm tagging the right people or whatever it might be. Doing those things definitely help. But yeah, it's 5 years to get to that point. So, you know, if people are just starting off now, you know, you can't expect to be at that point in a month's time. It's just not going to happen.
I completely, completely, completely agree with that. I think a lot of time, one of the best advice that I've ever gotten was have a look at the people that you look up to and the people whose pages you aspire to be like. And so I did do some stalking. I feel like everyone does stalking.
Of me?
Well, I did stalking of you, yeah. But I also did stalking about other podcast pages and other South Asian pages. And I would literally scroll back to the bottom and be like, wow, they started 7 years ago. And when you do get into that funk, because like I said, instantaneous society, we want everything now, that you don't realize that, like, you spent 5 years to build like your platform from the beginning. Like, I've only been doing mine for like a couple of months. I can't be where you are right now. And it's kind of humbling at the same time, because I'm like, I just need to work hard at this. And right now I'm in this mindset of, I just want to build a community, help people. Like, that's what my affirmations are for. That's what my podcast topics are about. When you get out of the funk about the numbers, which is so hard since I feel like we're both numbers people.
Yeah, we're both, yeah. Corporate girls, yes.
Corporate girls.
But I do completely agree. Like, you have to ignore the numbers. Honestly, if you put time and effort into growing something valuable and doing it for the right reasons, the numbers will come. I guarantee they will come. But it will be just a bonus and an add-on to everything else you've achieved by doing what you're doing. I just think, yeah, it's unhealthy to keep, you know, looking at all the numbers and the number of likes and whatever. Like, yes, do it once in a while because it's important to measure growth, but don't get too caught up on it. Definitely not.
And the final thing that I have to ask you is, what is next for Tambi? What is 2021 looking like for you?
To be honest, I feel like everyone asks me, especially my friends have been asking more and more, like, as my grad scheme slowly approaches end, which is next year in April, would I ever just quit the corporate world and sort of do social media full time? I personally think that both the worlds challenge me in completely different ways. And they both bring such different things to my life that I can't really imagine just doing one and not having the other. So for me personally, I will look to continue to grow and develop in my corporate job. Whether I stay at the big four or go somewhere else, I don't know. But then in terms of social media, I will again just continue to grow. I will hopefully work with some big brands and bigger people, because of course, all of that does help. And then that just then gives me an even bigger voice to continue to like share all of these important messages that I already do. So yeah, to be honest, it's just going to be keeping up with what I'm currently doing and just basically making the most of all the opportunities that are going to come.
Oh my God, I honestly wish you the best, because I actually can't wait for everything that you have to come, because you genuinely are someone that I can really relate to. And I remember the first time we spoke, I was like, I really relate to you because we're so similar in like...
Yeah, we have a lot in common.
We have so much in common, I know. And I really am excited. And something that you said that I think I really agree is that, why can't we do both?
We can be multifaceted women. Like, I don't understand why it has to be, you should do this or that. Like, do a bit of everything you want to do.
Exactly. And like you said, it brings out different skills in you, right? Like, finance brings out a more logical side of me, whilst like the social media stuff is a more creative side of me. And we all have all these sides inside us as well. It's just the fact that
I feel like society has just taught us that you're either one or the other, when actually we have everything inside us.
Totally. Couldn't have said it better myself.
So the last thing that I always do is I do a quick fire round of questions just to end this off on a really lighthearted note. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
So first question is your favourite fashion piece?
Jumpers.
Okay. One skincare item you can't live without?
Cleansing balm.
If you could only have three makeup items in your bag, what would it be?
Mascara, lip gloss, and bronzer.
Describe your style in three words.
Versatile, comfortable, and colourful.
I like that. Mine was just going to be oversized hoodies. That's honestly all I wear these days. It's literally like...
I mean, I can't talk. I literally live in hoodies.
It's like men's clothing, like literally that's all I buy now. It's just like XXL t-shirts and XXL hoodies.
Well, we're not going anywhere, so you might as well be comfortable.
Exactly. Do you not feel like wearing a massive hoodie is like wearing a hug? Like, I just feel like I'm just hugged all the time wearing a hoodie.
I've never personally thought about it like that, but maybe I will now.
It just feels so comfy. Hollywood or Bollywood?
Bollywood.
Favourite Bollywood film?
Kuchh Hai. That was like, I used to watch it repeatedly as a child, like every day for about 3 years.
I feel like everyone has that Bollywood film where they just watch it repeatedly all the time.
Yeah, that's mine.
Your first celebrity crush?
It's got to be an Arsenal player, doesn't it? Olivier Giroud. It has to be an Arsenal player, well, an ex-Arsenal player.
Heels or flats?
Flats, trainers all the way.
Dress up or dress down?
You know what? I'd love to dress up. It's been a while.
Favourite holiday you've been on?
Oh, I get asked this all the time. So many. Cuba?
So jealous. That's the one place I'd love to go.
Yeah, Cuba's amazing. I definitely recommend going if anyone hasn't been yet. But there's so many.
Favourite food?
Pizza.
And finally, spring, summer or autumn, winter?
Spring, summer, the weather. But autumn, winter, the fashion.
Oh my God, that was the end. Thank you so much, Tanvi, for coming on my podcast. I'm genuinely so excited that this actually happened, because when I first started my podcast, I had a list of people that I really wanted, and you were on my list of people that I wanted on my podcast. So thank you for even making this happen and agreeing to be on it.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's been really enjoyable.
I've had such a good conversation. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been lovely. Thank you.
No worries. I hope you enjoyed that episode with Tanvi. Honestly, Tanvi was such an amazing guest to have on the podcast and a general awesome human being. So definitely check out her social media links and her new YouTube channel as well. And I'm so curious to know what your thoughts are. Do you enjoy thrifting? Would you ever wear secondhand clothes? I know that it's a bit of a sticky situation for certain people, but I'm so intrigued. So let me know. Tweet me at PrettyPersonal or send me a DM on Instagram. Again, at PrettyPersonal. Or if you're old school, you can always email me at itspertypersonal@gmail.com. Again, don't forget to follow and subscribe to this podcast, because I do release episodes every single Tuesday. And next week's episode is something super important that you wouldn't want to miss. Speak to you guys next week. Take care. Bye.